Good to be here this morning. If you're joining us for the first time, I want to welcome you to our church. Can we give it up for our first-time guests today that are joining us? And if you're joining us online, I pray that you're also come and pay us a visit here. We'd love to meet you. I want to go to 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. Can we all just stand in reverence for the Word of God today as we read this today? This is what the Word of God says. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he killed the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent a message to Elijah. May the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them. Elijah was afraid. He fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town of Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. Notice what he says here. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors who have already died." Then he laid down and slept under the tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, "Get up and eat." He looked around. There beside him was some bread baked on a hot stone and a jar of water. So he ate and he drank and he lay down again. The angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, "Get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you." So he got up and he ate and he drank. And notice this, and the food gave him enough strength to travel. So the Lord gave him enough strength. We say amen to that. And there he came to a cave where he spent the night. The Lord said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah replied, "I have zeal for the Lord. I've been serving the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their promise with you, their covenant with you. They've torn down the altars. They've killed every one of the prophets. I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too." Let's pray. Father, bless this word. As we get into this message, help us to understand, apply it to our lives, and speak to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You guys can have a seat. Well, I have good news for you. This Sunday marks the first time this year, 2019, that we're beginning a series of teachings. You guys excited for the next series we're going to start right now? This is going to be a good one. In fact, this series is going to be so good. Everyone is going to be blessed by it. We're starting a brand new series titled Fear Less. That's the title of this 6 weeks of fear. How many of you are going through some fear right now? Some fear moments? Yes. Now, this is the promise I'm going to give to you. I want you to know that if you're afraid today, it's because you're human. If you're afraid today, it has nothing to do with your lack of faith or you're far from God. In fact, God is not even mad at you right now because you're afraid. He's not hurt by that. And this series is not going to teach you how to avoid fear, because I personally believe it is impossible to live a life without fear. Fear will always come. You go through seasons where you're not afraid, then there's seasons where you are afraid, and fear just pops up. So this series has nothing to do with living a life absent from fear. Impossible. Say it with me. Impossible. Impossible. This series is all about learning the principle of how to live a life where you fear less. Not fearless. Fear less. So how many of you agree right now with me? Say, "Pastor, I need to fear less in my life." Show me your hands right now. This is all for you today. Because many people are living under fear. There's the fear of tomorrow. What's going to happen? There's the fear of what if this happens? There's the fear of finances. There's the fear of health. What if I get sick? What if I get sick again? There's the fear of your children. What are they going to grow up to be? All of us live under some type of fear. And a big mistake that we make is found in 2 Timothy 1:7. Notice what God says here. God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear. And here's mistake number one, according to the scripture. Fear is more than just an emotion. We tend to think that fear is only an emotion. But the reality is that the Bible teaches that fear is very much a spirit, a demonic spirit at that. Why does God refer to fear as a spirit that's demonic? Because fear is the number one tool the devil uses to mess you up. So God said, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love, and here's a big one, of a sound mind. That word sound mind means the ability to think right, to reason. Let me tell you why fear is so dangerous. When you're living under fear, it is almost impossible for you to think right. And when you're not thinking right, you're not acting right. And when you're not acting right, you're making bad choices. So you see how the devil loves to use fear, because he knows that fear is going to hinder your mindset. And when your mindset is hindered, it's going to affect everything else. So the problem with your life right now is not fear. The problem with your life right now is you've allowed fear to dictate your thinking and your way of living. Can I get a witness today? So God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear. I've actually given you a power of love and the ability to think right. So God doesn't tell us anywhere in the scriptures, don't feel afraid. He says, don't be afraid. There's a big difference between feeling afraid and being afraid. I can feel afraid and not do anything. But when I'm in the season of being afraid, it's now affecting the way I live, the way I act, the way I speak, the way I treat other people. That's what it means to be afraid. So God is not anywhere in Scripture saying, don't feel fear. God is actually saying, don't be fear. In a few weeks from now, we're going to learn one time in the Bible that Jesus was under fear, but not today. See, I want to go to verse 4 of this story with Elijah. The Bible says that he went alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under this tree and he prayed, and he prayed that he might die. He had no reason to live in his mind. That might be you today. But notice what he says here. I've had enough. See, Elijah, he was a great man of faith. He was a great preacher, a great prophet. Elijah prayed and fire fell from heaven. He helped so many countless people. He led people to the Lord. So it shows me that even though you're a great man or woman of faith and you believe in God and you've seen his power in your life like he did, there are moments where you've just had enough. See, Elijah, he reached a breaking point. A breaking point is a moment of great pressure in which something gives way. So Elijah was under so much pressure, not that you guys can relate to that, but Elijah was under so much pressure that it came a point that he broke. And he said, God, I've had enough. And I'm asking you today, this morning, are you in that place in your life where you feel that you're at your breaking point, and you feel as though something in your life, you can't even handle it anymore, and you've had enough? Maybe you're here today and you're saying, God, I've had enough of my job, because I've had enough of my boss. I've had enough of the customers. I've had enough of the co-workers. Maybe you're saying, God, I've had enough of not having a job and being broke all the time and struggling to pay rent and bills. God, I've had enough. I've had enough of my marriage. I'm ready to call it quits and divorce. I've had enough of this church. I've had enough of this person. I've had enough of this situation, and I'm ready to give up. If that's you this morning, you're in the right place at the right time, and I applaud you right now. Give yourself a round of applause. Because a lot of us in life, even though you believe God like Elijah and you're a great man of faith, We all have a breaking point, don't we? Don't act spiritual right now. Don't act holy right now. We all have a breaking point. And Elijah broke. Why did it come this far for Elijah? It's the same reason we get into this breaking point in our lives. Elijah, a chapter before this when we read, he prayed that fire would fall from heaven, and it did. He wanted to demonstrate the power of God in people's lives. And Elijah actually expected the people to repent and turn to God and give their lives to the Lord. Elijah expected this great revival. He thought he will be the man to change the entire nation. But it didn't happen that way. Elijah was dealing with the first thing I want to teach about this morning. The fear that comes with disappointment. How many of you are under disappointment right now? I think everyone could agree, all of us. Because not one person is living the life exactly how they pictured it. Amen? Elijah teaches me that life doesn't always go our way. Our expectations will turn quickly to disappointment. And Elijah shows me that there's only so much pain and disappointment a person can handle. Before we hit this breaking point of feeling this despair and loss of hope and loss of faith and maybe even anger towards God. See, all of us here in this room or listening online, I'm convinced, have suffered some type of great disappointment. In this room today, I believe that maybe there's broken promises. There are marriages that have ended. There are friends that betrayed you and left you and lied about you. There are children you had a desire to have that never happened. There are children you did have that you never wanted, but now they're there, and now you're hoping they grow up to be what you want them to be, but now you see that they're not, so that's a failed expectation. There are people you buried before their time. There are broken dreams. All of us here at some point in life have gone or will go or are currently going through failed expectations. Is where you thought God would do it this way. You thought by this time you'd be in this place. By this time, this year, I should have been married. I should have had kids. I should have had this job. I should have had this promotion. I should have retired earlier and I'm still working. And you've painted this picture to God what you think He should have done. But that doesn't always happen. And now we're under this fear of disappointment. Disappointment can be so fearful because now you're not ready for what's really going to happen in your life. And you don't know what's next. But let me teach you one thing. Despite how we feel, of all the disappointment you can count in your life, in spite of all the disappointments you've had in your world, the Word of God and the promises of God never change. And no matter what has disappointed you, who has disappointed you, God remains to be God, and God remains to be sovereign and in control. When God says, I work out all things for your good, the reason He didn't just say, I work out good things, is because God knew that bad things in our life would happen. But God also wanted to reassure us that with the bad and the good of life, I work it all together to bring about my purpose for those who are called. So no matter what you're going through, good or bad, God is in control. In fact, God is not surprised by any disappointment in your life right now. God saw it coming, and God had a way out. The Bible teaches that God is before all things. So before that thing happened in your life, God was way ahead of you and already made a way. But see, I'm wondering today, if you're living under fear, why is it that you're allowing your disappointment to get the best of you in fear? Because a lot of you are not living the best version of yourself because of the fear that's in your mind. And I want to give you a series of examples and tests to prove maybe today you're under the condemnation of fear over disappointment. Number one, verse 3. Elijah was, say it with me, afraid. And as a reaction to his fear, he fled. That word fled means escape, to get away from. So the first sign that God gives us that you are under fear because of disappointment is the desire to escape and check out. See, the minute Elijah fled, he was no longer investing in his calling. He was no longer preaching the word of God. He was no longer concerned with the calling of God in his life. See, this is what happens when you're under fear. You begin to want to escape and check out. And some of you right now, you might be present here in life, but you've checked out of it. You no longer invest in it. You no longer put effort into your life because inside of you, you've already given up because of your disappointment. You've checked out emotionally. You've checked out spiritually. You've even checked out physically. And see, whenever you escape from something, you run to something. And sadly, when we escape from our fear, technically we run to the wrong thing. That's why God asked him, what are you doing here? Implying he was in the wrong place. See, fear will drive you the wrong direction. Fear will lead you the wrong way. So when I try to check out and escape my fear and run to something else to forget what I'm going through. See, for some of us, you escape to drugs. You escape to alcohol. You escape to sex and pornography and lust. You escape to food. You escape to pleasure. Because there's something about checking out that allows you to avoid the thinking of what you're afraid of. And that's why so many people are living destructive lives. So many people have checked out of their marriage. You no longer invest in it. You're just there. So many people have checked out of their job. You show up, but you make no effort. So many people have even checked out of God. You're in church, that's great, but that doesn't convince me you haven't checked out. Because you can be physically in this church right now, but you no longer feel the presence of God. How do I know you've checked out? You're thinking about lunch right now. That's a sign that you've checked out. You're no longer invested. You're no longer making effort towards. And what used to give you fulfillment and joy now gives you grief. So the minute Elijah, out of fear, escaped, he ended up in the wrong direction. One of the ways you do not fight fear is by escaping it. One of the ways you do not fight fear is by running away from it. Let Adam be an example of this in Genesis. He ran away from God when he sinned. And God asked him, where are you? And when Adam explained himself, the first thing that came out of his mouth was what? I was afraid. Because in his fear, he thought God would kill him. In his fear, he thought God would reject him. In his fear, he thought God couldn't love him. So in his fear, the devil convinced him to run away from God and towards the wrong direction. And maybe right now, you're under fear because you know you're running to the wrong places, the wrong people, and the wrong things to avoid the pressure and the fear in your life. Number two. This is a big one in verse 3 and 4. Elijah, the Bible says in verse 3 through 4, Elijah was afraid. He fled for his life. That's the first sign of fear. I escape. I need to avoid. I need to run away. Say, got it. Got it? He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah. Number 2, he left his servant there. Verse 4, then he went on alone. A second sign that fear is dominating your life is isolation and the desire to be alone. Now, I'm not saying that that's wrong because sometimes we need to be alone. But when there's something inside you that just doesn't want to be ever around people, you don't want to be around your church family, your physical family, your spiritual family. There's something in you that doesn't trust people because a lot of times we read this wrong. There's a lot of opinions about this, but we believe Elijah left his servant. His servant was loyal to him. His servant helped him. His servant was there by his side all the journey that Elijah was living. But see, when you're living under fear and disappointment, you begin to hurt others. You think you're doing yourself a favor by isolating yourself and living a life of loneliness. But the truth is, the second Elijah left to be alone, he abandoned his friend. That's what fear does. You're saying, well, Pastor, why did Elijah do this? I believe it's because Elijah, under fear, not only began to see his life the wrong way, he began to see people the wrong way. Let me explain. Some of you have gone through so much disappointment, you no longer trust people. Amen? That's why you can't enjoy the benefit of any relationship God blesses you with, because the second God brings a friend to your life, you're instantly remembering the friend you lost and hurt you. That's why you can't even date right, because the second you meet someone, a man or a woman, you think about the other man and woman that hurt you, and now you take it out on them. See, I believe that Elijah left his servant behind because he knew that Jezebel was out to kill him. And maybe he thought, my servant will sell me out in a heartbeat to save his life. So I'm going to leave him here and avoid him. Because I believe Elijah at this point did not trust him. See, you're living under fear when there's people around you that genuinely love you, want to be with you. They're your friends, but your eyes seem to only think negative about them. And you tend to think, well, what if they hurt me? And what if they abandon me again? And what if they lie about me? And what if they betray me? And now you can't even enjoy a decent relationship with anyone God blesses you with because fear has you in bondage to a lack of trust in them. And that's sad. Because you make a choice to live in isolation and loneliness to protect yourself. But you're actually doing more harm than good. See, I wonder, out of fear in your life, who is it in your life right now you no longer trust? Who is it that you've isolated yourself from? I see this all the time in our church. When a new person comes, they're kind of distant. When I try to get close to them, they kind of just back off. And you know why? Because they come to this church with the pain of another church. And they don't trust pastors. I get it. They don't trust church members. I get it. But don't let your fear cause you to cut a relationship that should never have been cut in the first place. Number three, fear will cause me to escape. Check out. Fear will cause me to isolate myself and lose trust in others. And I believe fear has its worst in your life. And verse 4, when God paid him a visit, he went alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life." And notice this next line. "For I am no better than my ancestors who have already died." One of the signs that you're living under fear of disappointment is low self-esteem. Or as I call it, self-pity. I'm good for nothing. God can't love me. God can't use me. I'm no better than this person. I'm no better than my father. I'm no better than my parents. I'm no better than this guy and that girl. I'm no better. I'm worthless. That is fear at its best. Elijah was so focused on his disappointment that he forgot where he had success. He was so caught up on his failure and disappointment that the biggest fear came into him. "I'm not good enough." It's sad because he said, "I'm no better than my ancestors." He's talking about the other prophets before him. Which shows me that Elijah, because of fear, now was living under comparison and competition. He said, "I failed just like the other prophets who couldn't change the people." Wouldn't you agree that today we're living in a culture of competition? When you look at social media, everything is about who has more and who has better. Social media has become the number one source for depression. Because it puts us into a place of comparison. You want to live a happier life? Delete your account. I guarantee it will change you in a heartbeat. Because you don't have time to be caught up in other people's lives and business and comparison and what you have and don't have and how you're better than them, but how they're better than you. That will drive you insane. Elijah was living under self-pity. So much that he began to live in low self-esteem. And I wonder today if you're here, your fear has dominated you so much that you have now lived your life under this assumption that God can't love you, God can't use you, God can't bless you, you're not good enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not smart enough, remember who you were, remember your past, you're not like this person, you're not as good as that person, and you're living under this false sense of worthlessness. That's what the devil wants. It's the fear that you don't measure up. You might have this fear that you're not a good enough parent, but you still gotta raise them. You have this fear that you're not a good enough Christian. You have this fear that you don't measure up. Where are you drawing your comparison from? Because what you're hearing is not from God. Lastly, verse 9 and 10. Let's recap this. Fear dominates me, number one, when I try to escape what I'm afraid of and run to other things. I check out. I no longer invest in my life because of discouragement and disappointment. Two, fear dominates my life because now I'm living under isolation and loneliness. I want nothing to do with people. I don't trust them. And three, fear dominates my life because of disappointment. And fear has led me to have this low view of myself, this low self-esteem, and this fear that I don't measure up. What does this all mean for you? Verse 9 and 10. He came to the cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, "What are you doing here?" You say that with me, that question. What, say it with me, what are you doing here? Why don't you ask your neighbor that and say, "Hey, what are you doing here?" And I'm not talking about church, I'm talking about in your life. Because if you're in a place where you're escaping and checking out, if you're in a place where you're isolating yourself and lonely because you don't trust people, and if you're in a place in your life where you have fear of your self-worth and self-pity and low self-esteem, I guarantee God is asking you today, "Well, what are you doing there? I never asked you to be there." You think God wants you to live a life of escaping all the time and running to the wrong things? You think God desires for you to live a life of isolation and loneliness when He said it's not good for a man to be alone? You think God designed you to live a life of self-pity and low self-esteem, down all the time on yourself? That is not what God designed you for, because God says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's the God that we serve. So God would say to you today, "What are you doing here?" See, fear today, I believe, has led you the wrong direction. Fear and of your disappointment has led you to wrong assumption. And therefore, it has caused you to go the wrong direction. So as I prayed about this and I said, "Lord, I understand the causes of fear and disappointment." See, I can relate to escaping. I can relate to not trusting anyone in isolation. I can even relate to self-pity and low self-esteem. How do I get out of it? Do I just pray? No. Sometimes prayer doesn't work. You're like, "Oh." Let me explain something to you. Elijah prayed, didn't he? But he prayed that God would do him a solid and kill him. Sometimes we don't know how to pray right. That's what I mean. Right now you're in a situation that I believe you have no idea what to tell God. You have no idea what to ask Him for. You have no idea what you want, but God does. So let me explain something to you. How do you get out of this fear in your disappointment? Verse 2. Look at this Jezebel woman. Man. She's smart, isn't she? She's a liar. See if you can catch this, because I did. Jezebel sent this message to Elijah: "May the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them." So let me explain something. How many of you are living under the fear of tomorrow? Tomorrow is a scary thing, isn't it? Because tomorrow says, "I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to come out of this." But God says, "Do not fear tomorrow. Tomorrow has its own worries." But God says, "The same way I take care of the birds, you're more valuable than a bird. Believe me, and I'll take care of you." So if you're living under the fear of tomorrow, that is exactly what the devil wants. Because notice the strategy of this liar called Jezebel. Jezebel sent this message to Elijah: "May the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you." Why didn't she do it today? Because she knew she couldn't kill him. But I can put fear in him. This is why you probably missed it. Jezebel sent this what? message. If she would have wanted him dead, she would have sent not a messenger, but a killer. Am I right? But she knew she couldn't kill him, just like the devil knows, I can't kill you, because life is in God's hands. So if I can't kill you, I got to think about something I can do to destroy you. So the devil, all the power he has, is to give you a false message. Just like Elijah received a message from Jezebel, the devil has the power to send you a false message to bring you into a state of hopelessness, depression, and discouragement. The devil can't touch you. He knows that. But I can send him a messenger to put fear about tomorrow. Because if I can get him or her in a place where they're so caught up in the future and tomorrow and what if and what if and what if, I can rob them of their joy. I can rob them of their purpose. I can rob them of their destiny. I just gotta give them a false message of fear. So you live your life with, what if I lose my job? What if I stay single forever? What if I get sick? What if I get divorced? Don't you understand? That is a false message from Satan to discourage you from the purpose of God. So realize this, that what you're hearing today, if it's not aligned with the Word of God, you are not hearing from God. I wonder how many of you have been robbed by a wrong message. So let me give you this advice to get out of this. The emotion of fear can be real in your life. There's no doubt. I'm not saying you're not feeling afraid right now. I guarantee you are. So let's accept the fact that the emotion of fear is real. But it doesn't make it right. See, this is why we live under this prison of fear. Because we trust our emotions way too much. And just because you're feeling what you're feeling doesn't make it true. So how do you break out of this? Realign your emotions with the Word of God. What does God say about what you're fearing? What does God say about the biggest worry in your life? You're worried about your job? Did He not say, I will supply all your needs according to my riches and glory? You're worried about your future, but God says, don't you worry about tomorrow, because I'll take care of you. You're worried about that you don't measure up and God doesn't love you, but what if you realign that emotion that nothing will separate you ever from the love of God? If you realign your emotions with the Word of God, fear has no place in your life. And you can continue. So when you want to panic, when you feel like you're going to not make it, just remember what you've learned. Amen. Can I tell you why I started this series today? I thought we would start a series since it's February on love and all that stuff. But this church don't need that right now, amen? I started this series today because someone would be here today that needs to hear this. I don't know who you are. You know, this week was an awesome week for me. Awesome. Why? Because it was my day off and we had 9-foot surf in Miami. And I said, man, I'm going to love this. So I went with my brother. We went surfing this week. Awesome day. Let me tell you what happened to me. I took off on this wave that in my mind I knew I shouldn't have because I wasn't ready, but I said, I want it now. And as I dropped in, the wave just overpowered me, took me under. But I was okay because I said, as long as my surfboard is attached to my leash, I'm good.
And all of a sudden, I heard a pop and my leash broke in half. My board left me. And I said, uh-oh. And all of a sudden, when I surfaced, I was caught in a deadly rip current. And the water was pushing me away from shore. But the big heavy waves were pushing me towards shore. So what happened, it created what's called an undertow. An undertow is when it takes you underwater, however long it wants you. And all my brother and friends could do is just watch from shore. You can't do anything. You're on your own. So as I'm down there in the water, I'm feeling the current push me and the waves toss me. The only thing on my mind is don't panic. Because if you panic, you get more tired. You lose more breath. The only thing I could remember at that moment was what I've been taught. Swim with it until you get out of it. Don't swim against it. Some of you are fighting things against you that God says, just go with it. Eventually, you're going to get out of it. But just while you're in it, the devil wants you to live in panic and fear and anxiety, and it only wears you out more. So if you would just go with it and do what you've been taught, you'll get out. Eventually, I got out, strapped back on, went back out. But then the Lord spoke to me on that beach that day. He said, there's a lot of people in your church that aren't even out yet. And I need you to set them free. And that's why we started this series, Fear Less. Because some of you feel like life is just hitting you and you're up against it. And some of you, you just want to panic right now because you don't know what's going to happen, what you're going to do, and what if you drown and die? But sometimes you just got to go with it. Because you can do nothing about what you're afraid of. But just go with it and do what you've learned. Trust God. Because you're going to get out of it. With every head bowed and every eye closed today. You're here and you're saying, Pastor, I'm under the current. I feel like the waves of life are hitting me and pounding me. And I don't even know if I can surface anymore to catch my breath because every time I try to, something else hits me. And I'm living under intense fear over my disappointment. I'm telling you today, God is telling you to go with it because you can do nothing about what you're fearing, but trust Him. Trust Him. If like Elijah right now you're living under fear and disappointment, it's because you're listening to the wrong message, and that message is a lie. Align your emotions with the Word of God. The Bible says to test every spirit. Is what you're feeling accurate to the Word of God? If not, then renew your mind. You're saying, well, Pastor, I've been escaping to the wrong things. Avoiding my fear and running to the wrong place. Pastor, I've been under isolation and loneliness because I don't trust anyone anymore. If that's you today, I pray that you leave this service fearing less, that God is still with you and God has a plan for your life. And God's going to work it out, but you just got to go with it and stop fighting it. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you set the captive free. Every person that's under fear over their disappointment, every person that's escaping to the wrong thing for relief over their fear, The spirit of isolation, I pray, Lord, you would kill right now. The spirit of loneliness because of a lack of trust in people. God, I just pray that if we're hearing the false message, that we would learn that even though we feel what we feel, it doesn't make it right. Your fear is not speaking truth to you right now. Will you pray this with me today? If you're under living under fear, disappointment, you show me your hands right now. Say, Pastor, I'm living under intense fear right now. That I hide behind with a smile. I hide with laughter. I hide with confidence. But deep down inside, there's this fear that I don't measure up. I have low self-esteem. There's this fear that causes me to run away and escape. There's this fear that causes me to be in isolation and not trust anyone. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of right thinking. The cure to fear is in your thoughts. Let's all stand to our feet so I can pray with you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you give your fear over to God right now. You say, Lord Jesus, you pray this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, my greatest fear, you fill in the blank. What is it? Say, Father, fear tells me, and you fill in the blank. What is your fear telling you? You'll never get out. You'll never change. You deserve this. What is your greatest fear telling you? You're not good enough. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that fear be bound. For every person that has a sense of guilt and low self-esteem and anxiety and panic and worry that dictates their life daily, that robs them of their peace and their joy, I pray, Father, that we align our lives with the Word of God that is true and will not lead us wrong. And I pray in the name of Jesus and no other name that the spirit of fear be bound and away from your thinking life, that you be set free and free indeed in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. Give him a round of applause today.